Welcome to the September 2011 edition of Judd's New England Journal, the rather curious monthly musings of Judson Hale, the editor-in-chief of Yankee Magazine, published since 1935 in Dublin, New Hampshire. The aftermath of the most famous New England murder, and it continues to this very day. The premier murder case in New England, possibly the entire country until the O.J. Simpson case, occurred in Fall River, Massachusetts, around 11 o'clock on the sweltering hot morning of August 4th, 1892, when elderly, wealthy Andrew Borden and his second wife, Abby, were done in by someone. Of course, their daughter, Lizzie, was always considered as guilty can be. Like, even O.J. Simpson was found not guilty, and so was she at her trial. But most of the books and the poems and plays about the Borden murders leave no doubt whatsoever that Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. Then, to show she wasn't done, she gave her father 41, unquote. Now, the interesting part of the case to me is that so many New Englanders with personal pieces of the Borden puzzle surfaced after we published a Lizzie Borden feature in Yankee Magazine back in the 1960s. For instance, a man who'd lived next door to Lizzie wrote to me to say he knew Lizzie's sister, Emma, was afraid Lizzie would kill her too. During the time the two sisters lived together in the Fall River house on 2nd Street, which was not the murder house, but at any rate. The same man who asked to remain anonymous swore to me that Lizzie had once been thrown by a beautiful white horse and in an instant rage had returned to her house, fetched a gun, and proceeded to shoot the horse dead. A New Hampshire woman wrote me recalling an astonishing story told to members of her family by, quote, a frail, semi-retarded little man, unquote, who did odd jobs around their farm back in the 1920s. He said he once lived in Fall River and often did chores for the Bordens. Around noon of the murder day, he was cleaning up behind the Borden house, and Lizzie, he said, came to the back door wiping off a hatchet. He went on to say she actually handed him the hatchet along with the rags with which she'd wiped it off and told him to put the hatchet in the barn and throw the rags in a nearby lot where Phil was being dumped every day, and this he did. Now, an hour or so later, he heard the Bordens had been murdered with a hatchet, and so with mentally deficient reasoning, he hid the hatchet behind the horse stalls, quote, so no one else could use it to hurt someone, unquote. He never told the police any of this because he was afraid he would somehow be punished. He soon left Fall River so that he could be sure he'd never run into Lizzie Borden again. My correspondent said she believed he spent the rest of his life moving from town to town, doing odd jobs on local farms. Occasionally, she said he would tell his story about Lizzie Borden, as he did with her family, and then move on to another locality so that he wouldn't be, quote, punished, unquote. Sort of an intriguing tale, but true? Well, hard to say. A Fort Lauderdale, Florida man wrote to me saying he knew for a fact that Lizzie Borden was accused of shoplifting in the Tilden and Thurber jewelry store in Providence, Rhode Island, some years after the murders. According to his, quote, unimpeachable source, unquote, the Tilden and Thurber people agreed not to press charges against Lizzie if she signed a confession to the murders, which she apparently did. After all, the law had already found her innocent of the crime. It was his understanding that the signed confession saying both murders were, quote, by my hand and mine alone, unquote, remained in the Tilden and Thurber vault until a fire destroyed the entire store, including everything in the vaults. Boy, what a collector's item that little slip of paper would be today. Quote, I was a member of the crew of carpenters who remodeled the Borden home in Fall River back in 1949, a Springfield, Massachusetts man wrote to me, and we came upon a rusty old hatchet concealed behind a partition there. Now, he was referring to the second Borden home, but still, that's sort of a weird thing. There were other letters and other personal anecdotes, too, and where the truth lies is anyone's guess. Two things are for certain, however. We'll never know exactly what happened in the Borden home on August 4th, 1892. Second, we New Englanders, long after the O.J. Simpson trial has faded into obscurity, which I think it sort of already has, will never tire of speculating about it. Never, ever.